You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
I mean, it's like they're trying to manifest it. You know, mm-hmm. You know how the left likes
they have
to
a vision
manifest.
Board. They have a vision board with Trump in the middle with his scepter and his orb and his big old fat
I will
crown.
Manifest his authoritarianism. I will make this happen.
They so badly want King Charles.
I'm sure they're using astrology, all of the things. All crystals. They're probably
those crystals. They are lighting some sage every night praying for King Trump.
Oh, welcome to Rivera and Rees, the podcast where we break through the bias, report the news, and occasionally trip over our soapboxes while ranting about the headlines.
Every week, we tackle the biggest stories with sharp analysis, unfiltered honesty, and just enough sarcasm to keep it fun.
So pull up a chair, grab your coffee, and join us as we wade through the spin because the media is trash and we have zero patience for their nonsense.
Hey, friends, and welcome to another episode of Rivera and Rees. I'm Mercedes, and I'm here with my friend Rachel. Say hello, Rachel.
Hello, Rachel.
You got this, Rachel.
No,
Rachel had a rough night.
I don't got this. I have... I'm straddling two worlds. I have, like, teens that want to stay up and chit-chat and talk
about
And then
you have
things.
A world that's just...
Coasting a baby
along.
That's like, hey, let's wake up and have a party at 4:30 in the morning. No, I cannot do this. I cannot, but I will. I will persevere. Yes.
We shall overcome. Is that what it is?
That's it, I guess. I will persist. I don't know.
Regardless, the other thing that's been on all of our plates is what is going on in the Middle East. We're not going to be going into that subject this morning. We did a unfiltered podcast over the weekend with a friend of the podcast, Amanda Peterson, where she did a great job kind of breaking down not only the operation that Israel did on Iran, but also like the history and a lot more context that I think is really beneficial to understanding what is happening between Israel and Iran. That episode is exclusive to paying supporters. So please click the link in the show notes if you want to listen to the full episode. There is a preview for free subscribers. I highly recommend. We've gotten really good feedback on that. And it looks like she'll probably be coming back again because it's not like the things between Israel and Iran as of right now are cooling down. Last night, the president was in Canada for the G7, and he left early after the dinner last night. There were reports that he was convening the cabinet in the Situation Room. He was leaving early. He tweeted or posted or truthed or whatever you want to call it, that anyone in Tehran should evacuate. There was also a report where Macron said that Trump was headed back early to negotiate a ceasefire. Trump said, no, that is not true. I do not want a ceasefire. I want an end to the war. There's a lot of speculation on why he's leaving early and what that means. As of right now, there is no new development. I think he arrived at the White House at about 4:00 in the morning, and there were people caught on film, you know, some cabinet members and people assembling and heading into the White House. So
do you think that's where that is at all? Like, does Trump sleep when he gets on the plane? Does he get into pajamas? Like, does he,
or he takes his tie off? I'm pretty sure.
Like, does he just like sit there and like close his eyes for a cat nap for like 20 minutes and then like he recharges a battery that's somewhere
I have
on
no
him,
idea my theory is that the man does not wear pajamas or whatever, like he literally sleeps in a suit and his yeah. pajamas is he takes his tie off and his jacket
yeah,
off.
I think that has to be it because I'm not seeing it. Like when I look at his schedule, I'm pretty sure like there's no sleeping. There's just not. There's no room
I have
for
no
it.
Idea how this man manages it.
No, none.
It's wild to me.
Yes,
so
same.
But that is I wanted to bring you guys up to date on that. As a time that you're hearing this, it's going to be later in the afternoon. It is currently 6:38 in the morning. So who knows what could happen over the next 4 to 5 hours. But that is what we have so far. But for today's episode, we're going to be talking more on what happened over the weekend with there was a assassination in Minnesota on two Democrat state politicians. I think it was a state senator and a state representative. We're going to cover that. We're also going to talk about the No Kings protest versus the Army parade, the 250th anniversary. And if we still have time, we'll also be getting into Trump's immigration posts that have gone back and forth and went back again. I don't know if you saw that last night, Rachel.
No, I didn't.
So there was like a report that there was like a take back. So we're going to go back and forth on that. Before we get into today's episode, make sure you hit that follow button. If this is your first time here, welcome. You have found your new favorite podcast. We're on every Tuesday and Thursday. If we are functioning, I don't know if this new cycle even lets us survive.
No, it's trying to kill us too.
I know. I thought things were going to die down and no such thing. But make sure you hit that follow button so you don't miss another episode. And let's get into it. So are you with us, Rachel?
Partially. Yeah. Do I look that out of it? She continues to ask, how are you?
And I know. It's like I look at your face and you start to like zone out a little bit.
My face is just I have glimmers of being alive occasionally. No, today's I can already feel it. I'm trying to like rally, but today's not going to be my day.
Every mother that listens to us has complete sympathy and like identifies with you right now, just so you know.
I'm trying.
Okay. So let's talk about what happened over the weekend. Over the weekend, it was June 14th. So what day was that? I can never remember the days of the week. Saturday. So Saturday there were
reports early Saturday morning
that there was a shooting happened in Minnesota. And for context, this is the same. I think when we talked about I don't remember what the subject was that we were talking about. It was about the protest in L.A. and how there was a story that was buried in Hennepin County in Minnesota about an ICE raid that wasn't an ICE raid, that was misidentified by a legislator as being an ICE raid. And it was actually them executing criminal warrants, and it got pretty heated. This is that same county.
Yeah, so it's been busy.
Lately. It's been busy in that county. And I only provide that context because just like the rest of the United States, it's been divided and heated in that county. And so we have those anti-ICE raids that got really hostile, or not raids, ICE protests that got really hostile on an ICE raid that wasn't an ICE raid. And now we had this assassination attempt. So the man, or the alleged assassin, was identified as Vance Luther Bowler. He's 57 years old. He allegedly killed Democrat State Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband, Mark. And I believe also he killed their dog, which
he did, which is so
So dark. He posed as a police officer. He was in full police uniform. I believe he had a vehicle that also looked like a police vehicle. He had a really realistic, like one of these, like I call them like Mission Impossible masks that look really, you know, realistic, of like a bald man. Flat jacket, arm, everything. So he was posing as a police officer. And then he also wounded State Senator John Hoffman and his wife, Yvette. Thankfully, they have both survived. He is now in federal custody. He was found hiding in the bushes outside of like near his rural property. And they might be seeking out the death penalty for him. Currently, as of right now, he's only been charged with, I believe, second-degree murder. For first-degree murder in the state of Minnesota, there was a lot of people that are asking the question, like, why isn't he being charged with that? It requires a grand jury to charge him with the higher count. So once he goes and the case is presented before a grand jury, it's expected that that charge is going to rise to the level of first-degree murder. So that is what happened over the weekend. Now, the reason we're talking about this is that there has been a lot of speculation around what happened. And I just kind of want to talk through it, give you guys each side, because there seems to be this like argument, which I think is really kind of dark in of itself and a sign of just like how divided we are right now, of different sides on social media, whoever you want to say, the left versus the right on social media, trying to argue the motives of this man, whether he was a radical leftist or a sympathizing leftist, or whether he was a far right extremist. That is the current debate. I don't even know exactly how beneficial that debate is. All right. So there's this big debate about whose fault it is, or whose side is it, or what side is getting more, I don't know, like, there is contributing to the whose rhetoric is contributing to the tensions in the country. And I think we would be naive to say, to point the finger completely at one side. I mean, I think there's one side currently, because they're not the side that's in power, that is much more vocal. Yeah. But let's just say, like, it's not like everybody's throwing around P's and Q's. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I listened to a podcast yesterday morning, actually. It was the New York Times Daily podcast. I usually listen to that in the morning, get a pulse on what's going on. And they made it pretty explicit that this guy was a Trump-supporting Republican. Like, they didn't even cloak it. They were just like, yep, he pretty much voted for him and he supported him and he wanted to kill other Democrats and abortion providers. Moving on, like, it's already been concluded in their minds. I thought that was really interesting how very obvious that narrative was to them.
Well, I mean, the further I go into this, I don't think that's a complete, I think what is unfair or irresponsible from the media is to come out with that definitively, still not knowing for sure exactly what the motives are. And assuming that, like, not even considering the additional details that have been revealed. But I will say that if I were personally to weigh which side did he fall on, to me, it looks like this is more of a hostile act against the Democrats versus that his motives are in support of the Democrats, because one of the main things that a lot of people point to is that Melissa Hortman had just broken with her party and had voted for a Minnesota budget bill, if I'm not mistaken, that would eliminate healthcare, I believe,
for illegal immigrants.
Mm-hmm. And she got a lot of heat for that. She actually, like, literally days before she was killed, she spoke and was interviewed and asked about this. And I'm going to go ahead and play that for you guys here.
I know that people will be hurt by that vote, and we worked very hard to try to get a budget deal that wouldn't include that provision.
DFL Speaker Emerita Melissa Hortman emotional following the House's adjournment from a special session Monday. Hortman was the lone DFL lawmaker to cast a vote to cut Minnesota care access for undocumented immigrants. It's a move she made with a heavy heart.
I did what leaders do. I stepped up and I got the job done for the people of Minnesota.
So that was her. I think it was literally, so the shooting happened on Saturday morning, and I think that vote was just earlier that same week.
Yeah.
And she said she got, you know, a real hard time for that vote. And so a lot of people assumed that it was because she voted to essentially cancel illegal immigration, that that was the motive of the shooter.
Yeah.
As in, like, how dare you not toe the party line, and how dare you betray the Democrats, or...
Well, do you not think that there's anything to that, or is it more she just happened to be in the area where he lived?
I think, well, here's the deal. So, and that's what a lot of, you know, there's a lot of back and forth, and that's why I kind of put the onus so far. Again, we don't know. And the other thing is that, you know, there's just a lot of details out there that if you were to independently weigh the side, to me, I think he's I think he went after them because they're Democrats, not because he didn't or because she didn't support this bill. First of all, he also went after the senator.
Mm-hmm.
He had nothing to do with the vote. He was a Democrat. There are reports that, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, he had no King flyers in the car. But the flyers weren't like no King flyers and for the protests. They weren't like protest posters. They weren't. They didn't have any information on them. It literally looked like he made them himself with a Sharpie on a sheet of paper.
So do you think that was like a setup type of thing? Do you think someone else made it?
I don't know if somebody else made it. I don't know if he made it for an alternative reason. I do think that is suspicious. I mean, and honestly, you can make it either way. You can make it where, like, I don't know, maybe he was making some signs because he was going to go into the protest and hurt people at the protest, you know? Like, there's a possibility of that. Like, the motive could have been either way. It doesn't necessarily mean it has to be in support. But again, like, you know, this is a detail like the media is just kind of glossing over and that are not really exploring, which, you know, journalism is very hard for them. So
very hard.
Then, you know, the thing is that police found a list of like 70 plus names. And on this list, they were all Democrats, all of them. There were Democrats or they were Planned Parenthood locations. Reports are that there was no Republicans. So if your motive is, if your issue is Republicans or if your issue is with this Democrat who happens to vote with the Republicans, then the assumption would be that she would be the one of the few Democrats on the list and that, you know, everybody else on the list may be Republican or somebody who heads up ICE, especially if the motive was anti-immigration, you know, anti-deportation or anti-ICE. So that to me also doesn't necessarily make sense. And then there was a lot of talk about him having a manifesto and that the manifesto hasn't been released. Now, I don't exactly trust the authorities, especially.
Well, with their track record with manifestos as of late has not been.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we have to admit that when they have withheld manifestos, they only seem to withhold them if they lean a certain way. So if they like, it just seems to be a pattern that if it's a manifesto that leans to the left, they are very slow to release it or they withhold it. I mean, we barely had to fight tooth and nail for the Covington shooter. For the manifesto. I think that one actually ultimately was leaked. It wasn't even released.
It was leaked like by Steven Crowder, right? And it was a year later.
Portions of it. And then it was more of it was leaked by somebody else. And then we've barely seen anything from the two assassination attempts on Trump, especially the first one. Like, it's like all of a sudden there's nothing. There's not a whole lot of information. So it is fair to have that speculation and use that as a sign of like, oh, they're not releasing it. So why not? Mm-hmm. Now, the acting U.S. attorney in that district held a press conference or spoke at a press conference yesterday. And he said that there was no manifesto and that they still don't look at your nobody could see your face.
Like, come on.
Rachel's like, but let's go ahead and let's listen to him and see what he has to say about it.
Okay.
That came from initially.
Can you identify the potential motive here? It has been widely reported that the list, this hit list, contained names of people who are abortion rights supporters. And also, can you please release the names of the two other targeted victims who were fortunately to get away?
As I said, with respect to the other two potential victims, I think it's up to them whether they want to publicly identify themselves. As I said, it wouldn't surprise me if they do. They're elected officials, but that's their right. Obviously, they may have families and children and privacy interests that they need to sort through. So I'll let them do that. With respect to the potential motive, let me say this. There's been a lot of press coverage and speculation and discussion of a manifesto. I've seen nothing like a Unabomber-style manifesto in his writings. He had many, many notebooks.
Very specific in his description.
Exactly. Plans. Lists of names, surveillance, efforts that he took to surveil and locate.
Sounds like a manifesto to me.
And family members' relationships with these elected officials. But I have not seen anything involving some sort of political screed or manifesto that would clearly identify what motivated him. Obviously, his primary motive was to go out and murder people. Now, they were all elected officials. They were all Democrats. Beyond that, I think it's just way too speculative for anyone who's reviewed these materials to know and to say what was motivating him in terms of ideology or specific issues. There's a lot of
abortion rights supporters.
There were some abortion rights supporters, I believe, on the list. But again, there was dozens and dozens and dozens of names on, you know, hundreds of pages of documents that were recovered with his writings on them.
Did he confess and give more details after he was apprehended last night?
I'm not going to comment on that at this time.
That sounds pretty manifesto-y to me. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages of documents that talk about the political people he wants to murder with names and lists and addresses
and plans. Well, and I mean, I guess technically it's not a manifesto.
No, but will you notice, like you noticed, he was very, he's like, I didn't see a Unabomber
type
style
manifesto.
But you saw a manifesto, bro. Like, just release it. Just release it and redact the people's addresses. Like,
yeah.
Or even if their names, that's fine.
I saw, I can't remember who shared it, but I did see an X post where somebody was sharing like two pages out of what this acting attorney, U.S. attorney said was hundreds of pages, mm-hmm. where it was these two pages where it looked like he was using, like, you know, these websites to find people's identity, like findpeople.com and, yeah. you know, US search whatever.com or whatever, where yeah. it looked like he was going through a checklist of different websites that help facilitate how to find people's addresses. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, it didn't, like, I mean, if that's all they're releasing, I'm like, that is okay. We all yeah. know he went looking for addresses. Thank you for confirming what websites he used.
Yeah. The more that they say there's nothing there, it's a nothing burger, the more I'm like, yeah, it was a full blown, like, just release it. If it's nothing and it doesn't reveal political motivations, then just release it. And also, it's hilarious how he's like, it doesn't reveal political motivations. And there were dozens and dozens and dozens of names of just Democrats and abortion providers. Like, clearly there's some kind of political motivation, because you're yeah. talking about the political, you're talking about it in political terms. If there's no political motivation or you can't surmise any, then...
Well, and it was me immediately right out the top. I don't know.
that's another sticker. More merchandise coming your way.
I, like, at no point or immediately they said that it was politically motivated. That was mm-hmm. one of the very first things that I heard early yeah. on, which also I think is interesting because, again, this is one of the things that we talked about when we were talking about James Lindsay and the woke right or whatever, is that how the right will immediately call out their own and mm-hmm. and how the media is very quick to identify fault if they believe the fault's coming from the right, but they slow walk it when it's coming from the left.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've been seeing it for the last few days with these LA riots / protests where they're like, well, it's only 1 square mile. And I'm like, okay, thanks. 1 square mile.
Yeah. Like, no big deal.
No big deal.
Just, you know, their entire life, the businesses you're burning down, but no big deal. No worries.
No big deal. So, but I don't know if you noticed in that snippet when he was talking, he talked about the reporter asked about another senator or another legislative official. So mm-hmm. the initial report was like it was only these two. And apparently there was actually a third that wasn't home. And so he went to more than just these two homes. He went to, I can't remember the order of it, so don't quote me here initially, but he went to, I believe it was the senator that was shot and survived. I believe he was first. Mm-hmm. Then there was a second home that he went to, and a police officer saw him, mm-hmm. saw the vehicle, but didn't recognize him and didn't see him as a threat because he assumed he was a police officer. And mm-hmm. then he went to the third home where he killed the state representative and her husband. And as he was leaving, I believe, because the police had already been investigating the first one, they decided to go and check out
yeah,
and see
the other homes.
So it was like a wellness check kind of situation. Uh-huh. And in the process of that is when they confronted him and they exchanged fire and he ran back into the house and then he uh-huh. escaped.
Yeah.
So there was actually, it wasn't just the two of them. He actually tried another victim or another yeah. person's home, but they weren't home. So, okay. And then that entire area was put on lockdown. But what's really interesting is the details that have emerged from this guy are kind of weird.
Yeah.
Just
and,
in general.
And like, I mean, yes, him and his quote roommate,
Like,
yeah. So, okay. So the roommate was very bizarre because I'm like, this man is like 50 something years old, married with children. And you're telling me this guy has a roommate?
Yes.
So I went digging into the roommate because the roommate, first of all, I don't want to be unkind, but he doesn't look like a successful individual.
Well,
in society,
also, he's presenting himself like he knew he was going to be interviewed. Obviously, he put himself out there and it was like he kind of grabbed a shirt that was like on the ground. Maybe
he was in his initial interview. He's wearing a Papa John's shirt and he was sweating profusely.
Yes.
And just, then the second interview.
I saw one. The first one I saw, he was like relatively jaunty. Like, hey, guys,
yeah, I'll play both of them here for you. So,
yeah.
I did do some research on like what, because I thought the situation with the roommate was weird. And reportedly, what it is that his home, the assassin's home, is in rural Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And then he does business, I believe it's in Minneapolis. And so he would rent this room from this quote roommate.
Which isn't odd. Like people do that in DC all the time who work on the Hill. Like that's
correct.
Just normal.
Yeah. And so that's why this married man with children that reportedly was not separated or divorced had a roommate. It's because he was renting out this room that he would stay at to do business. So the first time I started seeing this roommate, which I don't even remember what his name is.
I don't remember.
He was being,
let's call
there was
him
a clip.
Joe.
Yeah, let's call Joe. He was being interviewed, or this clip is going viral from CBS, and he is in this video that I'm going to play for you guys. He is reading a text message that he claims he received from the assassin, like before or maybe shortly after everything kind of blew up and, you know, he was identified.
Dead shortly. So I just want to let you know that I love you guys both. And I wish it hadn't gone this way. I don't want to say anything more and implicate you in any way because you guys don't know anything about this. But I love you guys and I'm sorry for all the trouble this has caused. He was a loving, caring guy, you know, loved his family, loved his friends and loved God and I don't know why he did what he did. It's just, it's not fans. No one will believe this. No one that grew up. He had lots of friends, trust me. And I wish I could have been there to stop him.
Like, I mean, he's coming off as a little bit 15 minutes of fame wanting attention. Well, right? Because there was a lot of conversation about how he just read the text and everybody's like, did anybody see the text? A lot of people were asking, have you seen the text message? And so the next day he's being interviewed and he's wearing that like maroon colored shirt and he's just coming off like all.
That's what I'm saying. It was such a disparity between the two. Because what I saw was the first one, what I saw first was the video of him being just like laughing and smiling. And I was like, wait, this is his roommate and his best friend. He's saying it's his best friend. That's weird. And then a couple hours later, I saw another video and it was the one of him crying while reading the text messages. And I'm like, this is not the same person. I don't get this at all. Like, it's very performative in my opinion. You don't have... If your best friend is missing or now apprehended at that time, I believe, you're not acting like that. Like you're nervous, you're scared, you're confused, and you might not even be giving multiple interviews and sitting there and like reading your text messages to the public. I don't even know if you would know if that's okay to do. Like, wouldn't you want to talk to law enforcement first or show them? It all just seemed extremely like... I don't want to use the word staged, but just very performative to me and disingenuous. I'm not saying that he's not friends with him. I'm not saying that he didn't receive a text. It just felt off. You know what I mean?
It did. I agree with you. And then like the next day he was asked to like a reporter asked to see the text message. Like, can we take a picture of the text message? And he said no, essentially. So this is
weird.
When he's, yeah, listen to him why he's being asked whether or not he can provide the text message.
Did he give you any emotional message, said that he loves you, besides the text messages or something like that that seemed off?
No, he said that he made some choices. And he said, you guys don't know anything about it, but
Yeah.
Another big ass.
But he said he didn't have much time to live.
Another big ass. Do you mind if I take a picture of the text message?
Nah, every.
You
I kind of
block out his number.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I kind of keep that private because
yeah, no, you don't.
People and I don't know. I just gotta get going. I have to.
Is his phone still ringing when you called?
I gotta get going. No, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, just voicemail. I can't. He won't. He doesn't want me involved.
Yeah.
So he's not going to call me. He's not going to receive calls from me. So.
Can we at least see the picture?
He looks really nervous and twitchy.
Well, they never see the picture. I don't know why I'm so. He sent it to me and a friend. So it wasn't just me. And I don't know if my friend would think about me sharing that with everybody. I mean,
you
I
did.
Read it out loud just so you guys could get a context of what I feel when I read it.
Yeah.
And.
Can you read it to us? We weren't here yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so.
But I gotta really get going.
I mean,
yeah,
he's just
weird.
Like.
That's
yeah.
Very odd. Like, you
no,
already
I mean,
don't act like you want privacy now. You gave two interviews and you read the text verbatim while crying. This isn't. Come
well,
on.
Maybe he's freaking out because of the extent of the attention it suddenly garnered him. You know
maybe.
What I mean? I don't know. But it just seems like if you've already read the text message, you can provide, and if he is concerned about, like, there's this other individual on the text thread, I don't want to identify him, then take a screenshot, take his name out, and,
yeah, it's very
you know,
easy.
And it's not, I mean, I literally do it all the time when I share stuff on social media. Like,
yeah,
it's called redaction. You can redact things. All right, friends, hold on to your pantalones, because Rachel has some serious intel for all the parents out there who are tired of the media dumpster fire, but still want your kids to know what's happening in the world. Rachel's out here living the dream, raising lambs, homeschooling four girls, and actually has to deal with the "Mom, what's happening?" questions without traumatizing anyone after overhearing our enthusiastic podcast conversations. So Rachel, tell our listeners about this amazing video news opportunity that apparently is going to save their sanity.
Okay, so a lot of our listeners are familiar with World News, but have you guys heard of their student-focused video product, World Watch? It's daily news videos designed specifically for kids, but from a Christian worldview, like fact-based journalism that helps kids explore the world, learn news literacy, all while recognizing God's design in everything.
And you don't have to pre-screen it like content, you know, policing?
Exactly. 10 minutes, a video a day, no weird agenda, no scary stuff they're not ready for. Plus, with a paid subscription, you get access to their full archive if you want to catch up or revisit stories. Just real news videos you can actually feel good about letting them watch. And right now, you can get 3 free months. So check it out. Because unlike everything else in the media, you can trust this.
There you have it, friends. Rachel approved video news for your kids with 3 free months to try it. And we know Rachel has strong opinions. So if Rachel trusts it with her 4 girls, you know it's the real deal. So, but to give you guys a little bit of the additional things that are being brought up. So Bolter, I believe is his name. This is the alleged assassin. He claimed to be CEO of Red Lion Group, which was supposed to be some kind of security company that he was trying to start up that was based in Congo since 2021. But investigators have found no photographs, no digital records. There's like really no information about the company itself. It seems to be pretty generic. Data Republican, which we've mentioned her before, says that the Red Lion Group appears to have run out of funding about a month or two ago. And that's when he started looking for executive level roles. So then there was also speculation for a time that, oh, it just happens to be that 2 months ago was about the time that USAID funds were being cut. Now, again, this is speculation. And so maybe he was upset about that. But then that doesn't make any sense. Like, why are your targets only Democrats if you're upset about losing USAID funding? So that just doesn't seem to check. Last month, Bowler was job hunting on LinkedIn. He said he was doing projects in the Democratic Republic of Congo for 3 years, but was now looking to get back into the U.S. food industry. Mm-hmm. Apparently, at some point, he was also working at a funeral home. I saw a video of him talking about, like, running businesses within, like, a funeral home.
I think that's why he lived with them.
I feel like that's what the roommate said, was that's why like three or four of them lived together, because it was close to the funeral home. Did I mishear that? Okay.
No. And that's the thing. That's like the business that he had to do in Minnesota. So it was, or not Minnesota, but in, I believe, Minneapolis.
Minneapolis.
So that's just like, that's why I'm saying personally, like, I feel like if you were to really objectively weigh the likelihood. Also, there was a bunch of video too of him going around, of him preaching in the Congo. I don't know if you like saw that.
Yep, don't like that.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people are trying to make it, I'm sure the narrative is going to develop into, I don't know, either white supremacist, Christian nationalist.
Yeah, all the buzzwords.
As opposed to just, I don't know, like, can we please stop with on all sides, can we please just like
stop the violence? That would be
down.
Like, if can no
everybody
more
just calm down.
Yes.
So now the other things that are being cited was that apparently he was appointed by Walz on a governor's workforce development board. This development board had a lot of kind of DEI initiatives, which would be expected for Minnesota. The board consisted of business leaders, labor representatives, community stakeholders. He was on the board. I think his wife also at one point worked with I think it was Walz, if I'm not mistaken. She was detained at one point with family having firearms, or no, munition. I think she had ammunition, cash, and passports. And she was held for questioning for about 2 to 3 hours. As far as I know, she had been released. So my point being is that I don't necessarily think that is black and white either way. But if you're going to weigh it, I think it definitely goes a little bit more one way than the other. You know, the talking point of this workforce development board is that it was a bipartisan board. But we have to acknowledge that it's not just Democrats that hate Trump and hate what's going on right now with this administration.
Right.
And so if you're dealing with a activist or someone who knows like what his political leanings could be definitively, I mean, if he's in Minnesota, he might be a sympathizer. Now, they did look up his records. He has registered Republican. He has voted Republican. So we will see how things pan out. But I think it is, I personally think it's irresponsible to be running around and saying, you know, this person's motives are for this reason when we don't 100% know for sure. I think there was somebody, who was it a while back, that their motives were like all over the place. Like, they hated Democrats. They hated Republicans. They like,
so
they
more
were
of like an Antifa type.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't think that's him.
No. I'm saying though, whoever you're referencing.
Yeah. I'm referencing was more of like an Antifa type.
There's been too much. There's been a lot of political violence lately. My favorite is that everybody rushes to, like, right after something like this happens, the major networks, the legacy media, before they know anything. But if it kind of looks one way, because straight out the gate, this did look
out the gate. That's it.
There it is. This looked like it was more leaning towards a disenfranchised Democrat, because the narrative was, you know, he's going after Republicans who vote to eliminate health care for illegal immigrants. He has got the No Kings posters, whatever. Right after it happens, you see all of these people in legacy media rushing to say political violence isn't, you know, it doesn't happen often. It's not very frequent. You know, it's not happening all over the place. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. And I was like,
where have you been for the last 3 months?
Kind of feel like that's not accurate, you know, but and then that will wane, you know, that narrative will change if it does come out, or if they keep reinforcing that he was a Republican, then it'll be political violence against Democrats is very common. And they'll start bringing up more of, like, you know, historical.
Well, I mean, and let's also acknowledge, so Tim Walz did a press conference about this. Now, I will say, look, let me give the president some criticism. Tim Walz, for the most part, did a really good address about what was happening in Minnesota as the governor, which was good.
Yeah.
The president was asked about it, I think. He hasn't really, I don't think he's contacted Tim Walz.
He even said, did you hear him last night on Air Force One? He was like, no, why would I call him? He's a mess. Like, I'm not going to call him. That'd be
which
a waste of my time.
Think.
I'm like, why say that? Why do this right now?
I don't think that is the way to approach this. I think, honestly, you can acknowledge that it happened. It may have a political violence motive, and it's looking more so than it did not, and that you can speak on that.
Yeah.
And, but also in the same, what is it, department category or whatever, Tim Walz held his press conference. And he said something, it's like, this can't be the way that we deal with political differences. No.
Right.
Let's listen to Timmy.
A moment in this country where we watched violence erupt. This cannot be the norm. It cannot be the way that we deal with our political differences. Now's the time for us to recommit to the core values of this country. And each and every one of us can do it. Talk to a neighbor rather than arguing. Debate an issue. Shake hands. Find common ground. This is who Melissa Hortman was. In the first negotiating session that I had a chance to work with her, she got all the partners in the room, and she provided each and every one of us a copy of a book called Getting to Yes. And the whole premise was debating with a sense of goodwill, a sense of trying to come to compromises that serve everyone.
So... I play that because this is also the same man who just the other day, I think he was at a South Carolina Democrat Party like meeting maybe about a week or two ago, where he said it's time that we need to get more mean.
Yeah.
And he spoke and he did a commencement address at a university where he referenced ICE as Trump's modern day Gestapo.
Donald Trump's modern-day Gestapo is scooping folks up off the streets. They're in unmarked vans, wearing masks, being shipped off to foreign torture dungeons. No chance to mount a defense, not even a chance to kiss a loved one goodbye, just grabbed up by masked agents, shoved into those vans, and disappeared. To be clear, there's no way for us to know whether they were actually criminals or not, because they refused to give them a trial. We're supposed to just take their word for it.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's speaking out of both sides of his mouth, which is typical. He's a politician. He has to say what he needs to say in the moment. You know, I mean, his address was great. If people actually meant it, that'd be awesome.
Well, and I bring that up because specifically like those two examples, the later examples that I gave, especially him calling ICE the modern day Gestapo, is really, I would argue, what has been contributing to a large contributor to the tensions that we've been experiencing over the last few months.
I mean, we've dedicated entire episodes to this. When you have a legacy media and half of the country and half of the politicians in Washington telling you that the man in office is akin to a genocidal maniac, like, what do you expect people to take away from that? Like, oh, well, that's too bad. No, their hatred and rage is going to only increase. And so you can't just keep saying those things and thinking it's not going to have some effect. It clearly has.
And I brought it up too, because that's in the same vein of what we saw over the weekend with the No Kings protest. It's probably just like a more polite way of putting it, but it's really the same sentiment. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you're not comparing him to Hitler, but you're calling him a monarchy, a king. You're within that context. You're alleging that he is stripping away any and all rights, any liberties that we have, which is really ironic considering that, I don't know if you saw the No Kings protest, and I'm air quoting protest, because a lot of the reports are basically like these were just parties. They were gatherings for people and not necessarily protest per se. So before we leave what happened in Minnesota, like, that is still developing. We'll continue to follow it. But I think, you know, I mean, depending on what bubble you're in, it's very easy for you to get one specific narrative. And I just want to emphasize that we don't know yet. Which I think the fact that we don't know is a little suspicious. That in of itself makes me suspicious. But the fact is that we don't know yet. And I think it is irresponsible for the legacy media to be coming out with absolutes when we don't know. And I think it's irresponsible for anybody on the right who's creating, you know, content or whatever to blatantly come out and say, we don't know. Or like that it's one way. So, but the No Kings protest over the weekend played, or happened against the backdrop of the U.S. Army celebrating its 50th anniversary. And the irony to me of not only the protests being organized, but also how Democrats, like Democrat representatives, congressmen, you know, senators or politicians reacted to everything, I think also is really disappointing, because they're really pushing this narrative that this was for Trump's birthday, that, you know, it was going to be like a North Korea level type parade with like all of these tanks and all of this imagery. And honestly, I watched the parade, and to me, the parade was anything but any of those things.
Yeah. If I would just love it if someone in the legacy media, one of the politicians, a progressive influencer, just came out and said, yeah, we got this one wrong. I watched it and it was just like a salute to America.
Well, it was actually a very family friendly. It was a fun parade. It was low key
and it was informative. Like it basically was walking you through the history of the United States military. It talked about the different outfits that the soldiers wore at different times. It talked about the different munitions that they used and the reason for the different vehicles and tanks. And it was they had a staged portion where they took photos of every single Army uniform throughout America's history, and you could look at the differences between them. And then they had some country singer sing a bunch of songs for the Army soldiers that were there, and it was really neat. And they had a couple little short speeches, and new cadets took the oath of office, which, you know, President Trump presided over. It was just, it was fun. It was, it felt like 4th of July with a bit of history sprinkled in. Like,
like wholesome. And I thought it was really disappointing that, like, leading up to it, everybody's like, this is an embarrassment.
Yeah.
These, you know, I feel so bad for these servicemen for having to perform this way. And I'm like,
no, they looked like they were having
a blast.
Yes.
They looked like they were having a really good time.
The weather was fine. It wasn't too hot. It wasn't too cold. It was just, it was great. And you know, J.D. Vance stood up and said a little, you know, something, and Trump did too. And it was just harmless.
Well, and then there was also a lot of,
like, they had categorized it as.
No, not at all. And there was a lot about, like, oh, it had low attendance. A lot of people, they don't bring up the fact that it started a half an hour early out of concerns of the weather. So there was a lot of people that hadn't made it there yet. It filled up afterwards. You know, the servicemen, they all looked like they were having a really good time. I think there was like one mention of his birthday, and you could hear some of the servicemen singing the president happy birthday. Yeah. I saw a lot of the behind the scenes information, like, you know, the servicemen themselves, and they looked like they were having a good time. I thought it was really sad too that afterwards, not only were they like trying to build it up as making it, like, I'm talking about the left and, you know, I'm mostly content creators, we're trying to build it up as it being, you know, akin to a North Korea type military parade. I remember even seeing the New York Times doing some kind of slide deck, or maybe the Washington Post, where it was like comparing this parade to military parades from, I mean, they threw France and the UK in there, but also like China and North Korea. And I'm just like, this is so
stop it. It's such a waste
and disingenuous.
It is. It's a lie. And it's funny how it's not always the big events that will red pill people. For me, it's always the small scale stuff. Like when they lie
because
about
it's
really
the petty
simple
things.
Stuff, it's like, why are you doing this? It wasn't, he's had this birthday his entire life for like 79 years.
Both
he's had
of
this
them.
Birthday. Okay.
The Army. And, too. The Army had their birthday for 250 years.
It's not like this all of a sudden got planned 5 minutes ago and you hate him so much that you're going to try and use anything you can. And this is stupid because this is disrespectful to the Army. To these people that lay their lives on the line so you can say ridiculous stuff like this.
Mind you, you would not be at the No Kings protest if it wasn't for the Army.
Well, and if you had a king, like we separated from a king in 1776, you dolts. Like, come on. This is so ridiculous to me. And what they're saying is just, like, even he laughed at it. I heard Trump, you know, someone said, like,
it wasn't a real post. It wasn't a real.
Was that AI?
It wasn't AI, but it was like somebody created it. But the one where he's like, I would be a king or something, like, it's not real. It wasn't on his truth. post.
No, I'm not talking about that. It was a video of him at a dinner like the night before. And they basically asked him, did you hear about the No Kings protests? You know, what do you think about that? Them saying you're a king. He's like, well, I wish I was a king, but I'm not a king.
Oh, yeah, that was true. That was
I'm pretty far from a king. I don't get to do stuff I want all the time. Like, they're always trying to stop me. And so it's like, even he's joking about it. Nobody takes it seriously because your message is so far from the truth. Like, obviously, we don't have a king. And obviously, he is a politician and a president like everyone before him, where they try and get away with stuff that they can for their administration. And they're stopped.
Yes.
And they're stopped because we have checks and balances. And so far, they're still working. So calm down.
To the frustration of many, by the way, because that's how it goes.
Oh, and they would love to. They also enjoyed using their executive power when they were in the, and pushing the limits.
Or an auto pen?
Yeah, exactly. So the whole thing, when I watched that parade, I started to get mad almost because it was delightful. And it is something that every American should be able to go, let's watch this and appreciate our freedoms that are bought and paid for by, in large
the lives
part,
of
our
these
military.
Men. Yeah.
So, shame on the people who said shame on this parade. That's my opinion.
Well, and also just all of the talking points leading up to it were so bogus. Not only it wasn't for the birthday, which we've already talked about why, like, obviously they've both had the
and
same
they know
birthday.
That. They
forever.
Know
they
it.
Know that.
It just sounds great.
But this is part of the 250th anniversary or birthday in general of the United States, which there is a 250 commission that has been planning this. Do you think they threw together this parade with all of this military equipment and all of these servicemen in like 4 months?
Yep.
Don't have to convince 5 months or whatever.
Yep.
This has been in the works before Trump ever even won the election.
Yep.
So there was already a commission for it. There was already funding applied to it. This already was pre-planned. Mm-hmm. And you're going to tell me, you can kind of be upset about spending the money. But honestly, if we're going to be talking about spending money, I prefer to spend money on this event versus millions or billions of dollars or whatever that are being sent overseas to promote, quote, democracy, which is more just like leftist ideology across the land. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not here for that conversation about the money. Everybody talking about how they're all of a sudden super offended by money being spent. If you were not talking, and I know everybody tells you to stay away from the whataboutism, but no, I'm here for it because it's a bunch of people, the people who all of a sudden they have selective outrage. And I feel like all of a sudden, politics really, really matters to them. And the money being spent by Trump and his administration all of a sudden is a big concern. The amount he's playing golf is a humongous concern to people that there's so many things that all of a sudden seem to matter when applied to the past administration. When I brought those things up, people were like, Rachel, like, come on, this is status quo. This is what all of, politicians do. And it's like, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If you're not willing to talk about it on your own side, then it rings hollow when you do it for the party you don't like. I think we should have conversations about money.
Their criticism is like the Democrats love to spend money and they love to take vacations. Like that's status quo. That's expected. Yeah. Like we're not surprised about that.
Right.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
And their criticism is that, oh, you're supposed to be so fiscally conservative and so concerned about money, and now here you are spending money. Like, that's how they're calling Republicans hypocrites.
Yeah.
Which I think is not wrong. Like, you and I talk about all the time.
I would love us to save more money. I would love us to save all kinds of money in so many different places. But the money is not being saved by either party. Why are we having, let's talk about that. But when that's what you're bringing up that offends you about this parade, yeah. I'm sorry. You're just looking for, you're a hammer looking for a nail.
And I also thought it was really shameful that afterwards their talking point was that was a dud of a parade. They don't even know how to walk in formation. And they don't even... Yeah, you hadn't heard any of that. There was all first of all, it was going to be North Korea levels. And then because it wasn't North Korea levels,
they had to find a new
criticize it. And then I ended up, because I go on the TikTok and you don't.
I
got several servicemen who were, or family members, wives or whatever, that were explaining, the reason they weren't walking in unison is because it was a parade and they were at ease. And these are a group of servicemen that don't walk in unison or don't march in unison on the regular. And they were basically ordered to this is a parade, we're just we're at ease.
Yeah.
And so that's why we're not marching along in unison, because this parade wasn't about military power like the parades in North Korea and China are about.
Right.
This parade was about the servicemen and their 250th birthday and them having a good time on the parade and for the American people to see it. And if anything, this should have been something that we could have, united
all come
around.
Together. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
But
and instead, you had all of these people doing their No Kings protest, which is ironic considering you can't have a protest like that if there was legitimately a king, if we were legitimately authoritarian. And mind you, these protests, the amount of videos that I saw of people were this isn't a protest, this is a party.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all together, and there was their music and taco trucks and
again over 50 or 12
reliving the glory days.
It was wild to me. Mm-hmm. So yep. I don't know. I just thought it was really sad. Thankfully the No Kings protests themselves were peaceful, but of course there was violence that follows these events. And there was once the protests were over, I believe both Seattle and LA descended into riots. Someone was shot in Utah. People tried to break into federal buildings. Mm-hmm. So spare me.
Yeah. I'm not. I heard an influencer that I check in on was this day is going to be remembered in the annals of history as a huge day for democracy. And I was no, it's not. I'm sorry.
No.
I think that if there's any recent march that actually will be talked about, it will probably be the Women's March after his first election, maybe.
And that's
that's probably it.
Has been performative, honestly.
Well, because there is no, it's like we talk about, there's no underlying feature of the Democrat Party or these protests were a perfect microcosm of that. It was an illustration of how there's not one narrative. The narrative for them is we hate Donald Trump.
Yeah.
It's not, there's not one purpose. There's not one motivating factor. It's just, we can't stand the man in office and that's it. And at the end of the day, that is not going to motivate people enough to change things. It's going to motivate people to riot. It's going to motivate people to rage against their neighbors, but it's not something that's actually going to promote change. And it's not a unifying message for your party. It's not going to get newcomers.
No.
It's not going to excite or ignite a new generation.
It's not unifying.
People are tired of working off hate all the time.
It's not unifying at all in general. And I think if we were to reevaluate this down the road, mm-hmm. it is, first of all, the only people that this protest was for were the people that are already angry, already hate Trump, are already activated and are so locked into their mindset. Mm-hmm. It doesn't bring in a whole bunch of new people. Okay.
Right.
It is literally a party for themselves. Yep. Also, we can't be surprised. The turnout, there was a significant turnout, but there was significant turnout in major cities.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't it spread to the levels that they were trying to have it represent, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I think when you play it against the backdrop of the parade, I think it's even more telling of how, I don't know, like disconnected you are from like the majority of people. The amount of times, like, I actually saw a few podcasts where like a guest was on the podcast. I think I saw it on Tim Pool maybe. And they're like, they bring up the No Kings protest, and people were actually going, what is that about? What's the No Kings really? Protest?
Yeah.
These are people that are, you would expect to actually be in the know at yeah. some level. And they yeah. didn't even know exactly what the No Kings protest was.
It was only for one person, one type of person. And that's people that already hate Donald Trump. I mean, like with every fiber of their being. And what I tried to achieve that night, I was simultaneously like watching footage of the No Kings protest and watching the parade at the same time. And the difference could not be more different. Like it was
wild.
It was so stark. And I would post in stories like the No Kings protest and people just like crying and saying they don't know what to do with their lives. And they're so sad that he's our president, and carrying, you know, effigies of Donald Trump and signs that like show him in a guillotine or 8647. And then the next slide I would share, like,
you Americana. Know,
some biracial family watching the parade and waving a flag and being genuinely happy about our country. It could not be more different. And the happiness was palpable at the parade, and the disgust was palpable at the No Kings protests. And it's two different Americas. It really is.
It is. And it's honestly, it's sad.
It's disheartening.
Like, watching those two contrasts, like, I just thought was really sad. And it's not even to say, like, I don't even have a problem. I think it's ridiculous, the protest, the No Kings protest or whatever. But I don't have a problem, like, fine, protest it, but like also try and show that you have a willingness to come together on things that we should be united in as mm-hmm. a country.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, acknowledging the 250th birthday of the army, which nobody has any control of because, you know, 250 years have passed by. Like, yeah. you have control of when you're going to be able to hold this protest and hold yeah. whether or not you wanted it to look like a counter protest, it looked like a counter protest. And yeah. it looked like a counter protest, not against just the president, but against the army itself, especially because of all of the buildup coming beforehand where yep. you're like essentially trashing the event. And so, instead of you trying to be like what Tim Wool says and say, like, this is, we can't keep doing this anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it would have said a whole lot more if you, I mean, hold a protest, that's fine, but don't do it in contrast to Trump's birthday, quote unquote, parade, when that's not what it was at all.
Well, and if anything, that's what they really think. Like, I want to redact my statement earlier when I said they don't believe that, because the more I think about it, and we talk about how narratives really can be, you say something enough and people will believe it. We have a legacy media that serves as a propaganda wing, and they
Absolutely.
Really do tell people all the time. And they tell people lies like, this is for his birthday, this is for his birthday. And so I think there's plenty of people that believe that Donald Trump actually is having this for his birthday, because that's what they've been, that's what they're going to regurgitate, because that's what they've been told so much. And it's hilarious because, like you said, his birthday wasn't even brought up. Like, I think one person was like, happy 250th Army, happy birthday, DJT. And that was it.
JD Vance mentioned it because he's like, I got to tell my boss happy birthday. And
I got to tell my wife
happy anniversary. Yeah.
It's not. And so we have a bunch of people in our country that have been spoon-fed deception for years, and so they really do believe it. They believe this was for his birthday. They believe that he is an authoritarian. They believe that he is a serial rapist. They believe that he is, I don't know, using all of these foreign relationships with other leaders to aggrandize his bank account. Like, they believe all kinds of stuff, because with a wink and a nod, that's what our media has told them. And just imagine.
Well, and they provide
looped
no,
in.
Yeah, they provide no historical context either. Right. I was watching, I watched this girl that she ran what Trump has been doing since he came into office against, I can't remember exactly what it was. I don't know if it's like in some letters, a constitutional declaration. Anyways, it's supposed to be like, how to identify a monarchy. And these are the benchmarks that you need to keep an eye out for in case like the rise of an authoritarian or a monarchy in regards to the U.S. Constitution and contrasting U.S. Constitution. And asking like whether or not put it through AI and asking whether or not Trump meets those markers. And, you know, it says, well, he's definitely pushing boundaries, but the checks and balances have come in each and every time. And this is something that we have typically seen to some level or degree in past presidencies. So basically the quick answer is no. But then they ran it against Biden during COVID. And it says like, it basically said you're on the brink of it because of the
like
way
the computer
that he
started to like smoke because
it was like alert, pay attention. It's getting questionable.
So the historical context, people have short memories. They don't want to acknowledge things on their own side. It's painful for them. And they turn a blind eye when their side does it. Everybody's guilty of it. But man, right now, one half of the country is being told falsehoods all the time about the administration, and they just cannot accept that maybe he's just kind of a normal guy who's a little weird.
eccentric.
He's eccentric. He is great at negotiations, and he's actually done some okay stuff for our country. That's really going to be a tough pill to swallow. And especially, I mean, speaking of history, on the night of the parade, I did a whole reel about how this is totally pretty precedented. Okay. These parades have happened throughout our country's history multiple times. It's not a big deal. Stop trying to make it a big deal. You know what is a big deal? Our country making it to 250 because it's not looking great right now. So maybe we should be excited and celebrate a little bit and
give ourselves a pat on the back.
Yeah. And I think a parade, watching all of the different iterations of our army, is a cool way to do it. Why do we have to act like this is a dictatorial?
Well, here's the thing. It's like, it's not even like you can't criticize the president. Obviously, you can criticize the president. We criticize him
all the time.
In fact, we're about to do it right now, okay? The issue is that when you criticize him and you're creating the reason for your criticism or the caveat to your criticism or like the support for your criticism, whatever it is, as in he is doing this and this is dictatorial and this is why he's an authoritarian and this is why he's so dangerous. Can't you just criticize him? Yeah. Can't you just criticize him? Does he have to be baby Hitler? Does he have to be the end to our democracy when literally everything that he is doing is going through the checks and balances? And if anything is a symbol of our democracy, like, is that just a wild thing?
Yes, I think it is for people. I think that they so badly want him to be, they have a sunk cost. They so badly want him to be as bad as they've created in their minds. And so they're going to look for every single example they can find, because for them they've been saying it for so long and he has yet to establish himself as King Trump, and so they want it so bad because they've said it for so long.
I mean, it's like they're trying to manifest it, you know. You know how the left
they have a vision board. They have a vision board with Trump in the middle with his scepter and his orb and his big old fat
I will
crown.
Manifest his authoritarianism. I will make this happen.
They badly want King Charles.
I'm sure they're using astrology, of the things. Crystals. They're probably
those crystals. They are lighting some sage every night praying for King Trump.
Oh my gosh. Okay, talking about criticism, we're going to do a quick little criticism here, okay? Cuz we're running out of time. So, I don't even remember when. Point is that he posted, there's obviously all the ICE raids are happening, right? And he posted on Truth or whatever that the agricultural, it says our great farmers and people in hotel and leisure businesses have been stating that our very aggressive policy on immigration is taking very good longtime workers away from them, with those jobs being almost impossible to replace. This is not good. We must protect our farmers, but get the criminals out of the USA. Changes are coming. So that was last week.
It was like Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah. And everybody goes,
what?
Wait. Yeah. What? What happened? Yep. Like, now the reports are that the Secretary of Agriculture, Brooks, had come in, did a meeting with him, kind of told him, like, look, I understand that we have to do this, but we kind of need to, like, slow it down a little bit so we can make accommodations, or we can allow the farmers to find replacements, or we need to figure out another program, something along those lines, because they're getting hurt really bad. And this is what it could potentially do to them, our economy. Honestly, these are also people that are probably friends of his that he has connections with. And
this probably had dinner with them, and yeah, it all of a sudden got in his ear.
One of the things about Trump, good or bad, is that he's a favors relationship guy. And if you make, if you make a compelling case to him, he'll be open to making adjustments.
Yep.
Those are, that's good, but it's also muy frustrante, okay? Yes. Like, it's also kind of, like, at some, there's some things that, like, if you create a policy, you need to stick to, unless, and not, if you do make a change, like, it's fine, we'll talk about a change, but, like, don't make the change come off as, like, a midnight change that, and you throw out on Truth.
Well, just because, like, it was, like, the last person you talked to, you know?
Correct.
What I mean?
And yeah, that's how it comes off. And that is one of the very, which is one of the reasons that a lot of people feel very kind of like jaunted by Trump a lot of times, is because, like, one minute he's saying one thing and then the other minute he's like, oh, well, that's a good point, so I'm going to decide to change my mind.
Yep.
And that's how this sort of felt. So a lot of people were like, what happened? Right. Yep. So then on, I don't know if it was Sunday night, Monday morning or whatever, because I posted, I think it was on Monday morning, is maybe, or yesterday morning, I think is when I saw it. He did a very long post. I'm not even going to read the whole post, okay? Because it was long. It also wasn't quite as Trumpy as it typically is. It was like Trumpy light. Like, I feel like somebody helped him write it, and then there he was, added his own.
There was assistance there.
Yeah, and he added his own flares. And the summary of that post was, we're going to be doubling down on sanctuary cities, which are blue cities, because they're the ones that have been allowing all illegal immigration in. And that's, those are going to be our primary targets.
Yeah.
So you can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it as, because a lot of people are like, okay, so now he's changing his mind on the agriculture hospitality deal. I don't think that's the case. I think he's just saying that what we really need to do is we need to kind of leave them alone for a little bit and focus on the sanctuary cities, because that's where the majority of illegal immigrants are going to be, or illegal aliens are going to be. And that's also where the majority of the criminal illegal aliens are going to be.
Yeah.
And so then that would bring up target, like, quote, targets, which is what the Democrats are saying. Now, they're saying that this is purely politically motivated, that it's because he's only going after blue cities. And he does specifically say in his post, blue cities. However, it's only blue cities that are sanctuary cities.
Well, you're right. I
mean, and it's only blue cities that are violating federal law.
Right.
So, I don't know.
I mean, yeah, he said it because that's where the illegal immigrants are.
Yeah, that's where the problem is. All right. So he's talking about Los Angeles, Chicago, New York. I'm sure he'll probably move into other. There's, you know, other cities that aren't necessarily designated sanctuary cities, but they've been illegal alien friendly. And so I wouldn't be surprised if those other cities, like, for example, like Detroit, or, you know, or Minneapolis, for example. I'm not 100% of Minneapolis is a legitimate, like, sanctuary city, but they've definitely been very friendly to illegal. They've created a hospital environment for them. And so there's a lot of them in these cities. So, you know, anyone who's telling you that, I mean, yeah, I guess you can argue it's democratically or not politically motivated, but it's politically motivated in that these is where the people are.
Yeah.
Because they'll be like, why aren't they raiding red states or red cities? And I'm like,
I mean, they'll get to it, but that's not the hotbed for what they're looking for, clearly. And they know that. Again, they know this.
Well, then there was a report that came out, I believe, late yesterday, that he's kind of walking back that comment.
Yeah.
So we're kind
of like
going
with Trump lately. It's a bit of that one part in The Office when Michael Scott was talking about his vasectomy to Jan.
Snap.
It really felt like that with this particular situation. It's like, just don't say anything right now. Just head down. Good Trump.
Get it done.
Come on. Just get it done. Do what we have to do. No sit, stop.
There's another thing I wanted to bring up before we leave. And it's in this department of, you know, arresting illegals and ICE raids and everything. There's been a lot of debate or a lot of talk about people being arrested at the courthouse, like their cases being dismissed and then them being arrested when they leave. Mm-hmm. And the talking point is that these people are being told to come here illegally and legally. And when they go and do it right, the right way or the legal way, their cases are dismissed and then they're arrested and deported. That is fake news. That is false. Yeah. So I went and I researched this, and what is happening in the majority of these cases, I'm not going to say it's all of these cases. The majority of these cases are people who crossed into the United States illegally during the previous administration. The previous administration gave them this type of, you know, like a parole or a holding where it's like, instead of detaining them in a detention center, which is what previous administrations have done, in order for them to go through their, you know, due process and then eventually probably be deported, even if they're applying for asylum and everything. Originally, they would be held in detention centers. The previous administration, what was doing was giving them a hearing day. You go and check in, an ankle monitor, something along those lines. And as long as you do this check-in and we kind of, you know, go through the humongous backlog of illegal immigration for people to go through their, quote, due process, you need to check in to the court on this day or this amount of time.
Yeah.
Emphasis on, like, they have already crossed into the United States illegally. If it had been this administration, they would have been immediately deported.
Yeah.
In the previous administration, they were not. Exactly. So now what is happening is that these people are showing up, these people who crossed into the United States illegally. I'm emphasizing this for reasons.
Over and over again.
Over and over again. Or overstayed their visas or have filed an asylum claim. I say asylum claim in quotes because there are benchmarks to meet asylum. And the majority of the people who have crossed in the last 4 years into the United States illegally who are seeking asylum is not a legitimate asylum claim.
No.
So these cases are being dismissed because it is within the right of the federal government of immigration to be like, no, you cross here illegally. So we're going to dismiss the case and now you're getting deported.
Yep.
Now, typically, the practice is that once, which I think to me, this to me is wild. If you have gone over 100 days of being in the United States illegally, you're supposed to be given a little bit more deference and a little bit more time and a little bit more due process, which I think is the most insane.
Why?
Exactly. I have no idea. This is something else that I need to research, you know, in depth. But the argument is like, because if they've been here for like 100 days, they've kind of established themselves. And so now we just need to give them a little. And I'm like, if you commit a crime 100 days ago, you're going to tell me all of a sudden I need to give you a little bit more time
to
work,
get your stuff together? To say goodbye to your friends? What do you mean?
Yeah, it makes no sense. Or if like you're further into the country also, it's supposed to be like, and the idea about this was supposed to be where people come in and they work. And so they've gotten themselves a little bit more established and they're contributing. And I don't know why 100 days is arbitrary.
What's
number.
The benchmark? Why? Yeah.
Yeah. But the point being, like, this talking point of, like, these people are doing it legally, they're doing it the right way, and they're still getting deported is not true. It's not true. They have crossed in illegally. The previous administration allowed them to cross in illegally and then facilitated them to be dispersed into the country. And now this is the situation that we're in right now.
Yeah.
So that's my... I got really frustrated because I've been seeing people, and I've also been getting messages about it. And you know, like, it's just annoying because I will acknowledge that the optics of it don't look good. And I also think it's really irresponsible of the administration to not, like, fully explain what this is. And we also have to acknowledge that, yes, it's not just criminal illegal aliens that are getting deported. You don't necessarily have to, like, criminal in the sense of, like, I don't know, murder, drug running, category. Yeah. So, but, you know, when they're talking about, they're making these comments about violations of due process, taking people's rights away, not following the law, it being unconstitutional. It's not true.
I know.
And just, like, don't fall for it. It's just the emotional manipulation is really what gets to me. And I understand that people, you know, be empathetic. Like, obviously, this is not a great situation to be in. And my heart breaks for people who are, like, going through that. But also at the same time, like, you have to deal with the repercussions of your behavior.
Choice. Yeah.
We all have to do that.
Yeah.
And I can't.
I agree. I just am now upset that I didn't come to the podcast with something I wanted to sound off about, because I have a few of those things. I will bring something on Thursday.
Did I go on a little? And that's the end of today's podcast. That's my mini little rant for the day.
I like it. Anyways, a new segment, Mercedes Rants.
One of our rants, like rant for the day, because you rant too.
I do.
You are a gifted ranter. Sometimes I'm just like, whoa, where did Rachel come? Like, she just woke up today.
I did.
So I'm going to go ahead, though. Is there anything you want to get off your chest for today?
No, I'm hungry. I want breakfast. That's what I want to get off my chest.
She's like, I want to wrap this up so I can eat some cheese toast.
My cheese toast.
So that's it for today's episode. Here, like, let me remind you that over the weekend, if you guys want more about Israel, go and listen to our podcast with Amanda Peterson. She does a great job of breaking everything down. I also recently read a Substack from her, which I might include in the show notes or share it on our Rivera, like repost it on a Rivera and Reeves Substack, where she predicted how this was going to play out back in May.
Yeah. Taught us stuff. Like, I went away from that, you know, episode, and my husband goes, how'd it go? And I said, I learned a lot. Like, it's very informative, answered a boatload of questions. If you have questions about the conflict, what could happen, history and context behind why this is happening, regional questions, it's very informative. Well worth your time, definitely.
For sure. So anyways, make sure you go check that out. There's a preview. If you want to become a paying supporter, there is a link in the show notes. We're currently running a 30% discount for annual subscriptions, which I'll also include in the show notes. There's merch. We're done for today's episode. Come back and listen to us on Thursday for another episode of Rivera and Reeves. If this is your first time here, welcome. You have found your new favorite podcast. Make sure you hit that follow button. Give us a 5-star rating. Leave us a review and share it with a friend, because it helps us grow. And in the meantime, let's hope and pray that nothing pops off.
Please.
And that at the end of this week, there's world peace.
We'll have nothing to talk about. We'll just have nothing to talk about. That's what we want.
Nothing to talk about. In the meantime, we will see you again on Thursday for another episode of Rivera and Reeves. And here's a reminder, as we demonstrate in this episode, that the media is trash and we have no tolerance for it. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.